clock, we're rolling, all that jazz. Right? Okay, time in, 7:01. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Adequate notice of this meeting is required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 3, 2017, which was posted on the former bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office, on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Ms. Bona?
Here.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Ms. Lapode?
Here.
Ms. Malkin?
Here.
Mr. Ticton?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mayor Ellen?
Here. We start with a short mayor's report. It's nice to have a short one. Couple of things. Mr. Hamilton, you asked about the video cameras at our last meeting.
Yeah.
I went back and did some research. They were put in prior to your last term as councilperson. They were here during Sandy. Hmm. There's something on DEP regs we'll cover later. We attended this morning a regionalization meeting with the county OEM, the county fire marshal. Mr. Arnone from the Freeholders was supposed to be there, but unfortunately was unable to make it at the last moment. We also met with the Director of Public Works. The purpose of the discussion was to discuss the potential regionalization of the Panhandle and other portions of Monmouth County. The reason for having that meeting was at the urging of Mr. Markunis, who was, and Mr. Arnone, both of whom urged us to have the meeting and neither of whom managed to show up, but that's a different issue. The reason for having the discussion, one, there's a push to regionalize, particularly in the Panhandle. The only way that our fees go down in the long term is for Millstone's base to expand. In other words, our rates and Millstone's rates and everybody else's rates are determined as a percentage or a amount of cents per $100 of assessed valuation. The more towns that join in that single group, the larger the assessed valuation, hence the amount per 100 goes down. So just as their rate went down to 8.5 by joining with us, as they bring in Allentown, Upper Freehold, that base will come in and decrease costs overall. And that seems to be a good goal at this point.
On a question, sir? Does that have any effect on the contract that we just voted on for Millstone?
Well, in the fifth year, you're charged at the rate at which Millstone residents pay. The rate that Millstone residents pay, mm-hmm. which is a amount of pennies per $100 of assessed valuation. So if before the fifth year they brought in more boroughs, more towns under their umbrella, that would give an increased tax base and therefore a decreased cost to us.
So it's not foreseeable that the rate would go up for us?
Based on?
Well, if they're going to regionalize the services in the county, is there a chance that our rates would go up?
Two separate questions. If they don't expand, the rate might go up, the rate might go down based on how many, what kind of building there is in Millstone. In other words, the more they build in Millstone, the higher their property value, the higher their property value, the lower the rate.
Right.
Right? If they were to stop right now, mm-hmm. It would depend on what happens between now and then, whether they have equipment needs, building needs, whatever. It could go up, it could go down.
Okay.
If they bring in extra, if other towns come under their umbrella, that would cause it to go down.
Okay, so really what it
or,
comes...
Or not go up, depending on...
Right. So it's not necessarily going to go up unless there's some extraordinary circumstances with the new equipment or whatever Dave needs over there for...
They redo it every year, so... as I said, it's based on...
So the current rate... the rate that we were looking at on the contract was based on today's...
was based on the combined valuation of Millstone and Roosevelt, correct?
Today.
Okay.
Thanks.
Sure. Union Beach Fire Company was out here. They're very grateful. We were able to give them a lot of equipment that from our former fire department that they very badly needed, that we did not need. We did manage to keep, we gave them a lot of certified gear. We gave them nozzles, things like that, that are rather expensive, but we have no use for. We also kept a fair amount of gear for use by our first aid and by Public Works and OEM. We got a quote on a recording system. We need two more. It was pretty expensive. All the new recording systems are computer-based, so it's software, but it would make life easier. I think the quotes are floating around, or the quote.
They're attached to the back of the
packet. Okay. Attached to the back of your packet, and we're going to go out and get more quotes. That machine that you see on top there is getting very old and has a tendency once in a while to just stop working. And we don't know that until we're trying to do the minutes. So it doesn't work very well. Liquor license was advertised today. Notice the bidders went out. The next one goes out on the 29th of May. Pre-qualification is June 16th, a good day. And the bid opening is when? Sorry, you had that.
Yeah,
I think it's 2 weeks after that.
June 28th.
June 28th.
Okay. If I may again, I'm sorry to keep interrupting here.
Sure.
This last page is almost $9,000 for a new recording system?
Yeah.
Can there's several.
There's several proposals.
Several proposals? Can I be involved in the discussion of this before we spend that kind of money for a new recording system?
We, to use the colloquial, we ain't spending nothing. We just, they came in, they made a presentation, they sent us quotes, okay?
All right, quote.
We'll go out and look at other systems and other quotes, and yes, you are more than welcome to
Can
be involved.
Can I be advised when you're going to talk about it or whenever?
I prefer you took it over and advised us.
Okay.
I got
Thank
enough
you.
On my, I mean,
Thank
if you,
you
want to.
I've had a little experience in that sort of stuff, so I wouldn't mind saving it down a little money there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I claim no expertise in recorders. So, okay, we now move on to. Did I miss anything? No. Okay, we now move on to approval of minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the April 12, 2017 regular meeting minutes?
Yeah, so moved.
Second.
Second.
Me.
Jill did second.
Comments or questions about the minutes at the table? There being none, would you please call the roll on the April 12, 2017 regular meeting minutes?
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Lapode?
Yes.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Tickton?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
A motion just in between here, I believe it's starting May 8th. Tapes of all the meetings are up on the website under the title of recording. Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the April 20, 2017 special meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Jill. Any questions, comments, discussion on the April 20 special meeting minutes?
Pardon me, Jeff. Point of order?
No, no point of order, sir. We're in the meeting.
I'm asking
the public. This is not the public portion.
I'm asking, is there public comment
sir,
for consent agenda?
There is public comment for consent agenda. We haven't gotten there.
Yet?
No.
I'm waiting for that. Thank you. I was confused. Thank you. That's my question.
April 20 special meeting. Okay, can I please have a roll call?
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Tickton?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, we now come to public comment for the consent agenda.
Thank you.
Sure. Would you like to start out?
Sure.
Please come to the podium, state your name and address.
Robert Cragen, Southern School Lane. I'm here about the resolution 1779 at the end of the resolutions here. Resolution to deny request for waiver of water sewer overage charges in the amount of $72 for Southern School Lane. Well, In sum, there was a bad meter, Gold Toby. I received a bill for $72. I said, I don't know why this is happening. I haven't changed my water usage. I haven't incurred any reason for this. Can you come and check the meter? Toby came, and he brought a KTK construction with him at the same time. They came, and they changed out the meter, and we opened the pit. We found that there was some water in the bottom of the pit, and I said to Toby, can you please send an email over to the town and advise them that this is a bad meter and that I shouldn't have to pay my bill? And that, I thought, was the end of it. Then I now have seen this resolution 1779, which, with your permission, I will read it line by line and go over it
line
by line.
No, we have the have it.
You have it in front of you. Okay,
yes.
Well, I need to refute it line by line, if you don't mind.
What is the
1779?
Yes.
Resolution to deny request for waiver of water sewer overage charges.
Okay. Please don't read it line by line. Tell us what you dispute.
Well, to respond to it, then, in general, it says that you received a request from me for a waiver of overage charges. I've never given anything in writing to anybody. I discussed it momentarily with Jill one point after a meeting. She said it had to come before the council here. I said, fine. And so I have never, in my opinion, never made a formal request for a waiver of overage charges. That didn't happen. I asked Toby to advise you that there was a bad meter and that the bill should never have happened. That's different than asking for a waiver of legitimate overage charges.
Are you now requesting a waiver of the $72?
I don't know if I'm supposed to do that or not. I think that the bill was caused by a faulty meter, and therefore,
okay, but you just argued that you did not request a waiver,
I'm saying that it never should have come up as a bill. May I go on, sir?
Well, if you're not requesting a waiver, there's no need to go on.
Well, if it means that I don't want to pay the bill, yes, I'm requesting a waiver.
Okay.
But I'm not accepting the fact that it's a legitimate bill, which a waiver would seem to imply. So this is maybe a question of phraseology, but I think it's a very important question of phraseology. I'm saying that the bill is faulty. The meter was faulty, and the bill is faulty. So the bill should never have occurred, is what I'm saying. Next idea. Whereas the water meter was changed to a new smart meter because the old meter was completely corroded due to flooding in the water pit. My request of Jill would be, don't you have a program right now? You said $6,000 a year you're spending to replace water meters in sections of the town one at a time as they come up for repair?
Please address the chair.
Okay, please.
Okay.
Could you ask Jill to respond to that, please? Or do you admit to that?
Admit to it?
Do you agree to that statement?
As the old meters expire, they are replaced.
According to both Toby and George Vasseur, all the meters in town need to be replaced. They're all old. And you've budgeted, according to Jill, $6,000 a year to do that. My point would be there that if you, in fact, do have a situation where there's been bad meters that have caused high bills, perhaps some people have received higher than normal bills and have had to pay them rather than be bothered to bring it to the council and oppose the high bill for reasons of bad water meters, because they don't even know that there are bad water meters that are being replaced. I'm suggesting that it's an obligation of the council to advise the town that they may have a bad water meter, and if in fact they have had bad water bills or higher than normal water bills, they should bring that to Jill's attention as something that, as you put it, Jeff, to request a waiver of the bill. I would phrase it differently. Then, whereas the flooding of the water pit was due to the homeowner's actions as described by the water sewer operator, I haven't touched that water pit in 4 or 5 years. I just got off the phone. The reason I was late for the meeting is I was talking to Toby. It was difficult to get his cell phone. Eventually I did. And I talked to George Vasseur also this afternoon, and both of them are happy to testify that I have not had anything to do with the water meter there or the connection to the water meter in many years. And so that statement, flooding of the water pit was due to homeowner's actions as described by the water sewer operator.
You dispute that paragraph.
Pardon me?
This is the public portion. We're trying to get through it.
Yes.
So you dispute that paragraph.
I dispute that paragraph
okay.
completely.
The next paragraph talks about the replacement of the cost of replacement. Do you dispute that paragraph?
I haven't seen the bill, so I can't dispute it.
Okay.
Next idea, whereas these costs are in excess of normal costs for replacing water meters, I have nothing to do with that.
Okay.
That decision to bring KTK construction was
yes,
Toby's
well, I understand. You dispute
not.
It. You dispute it. So now we go on to...
I'm not disputing it, sir. I have nothing to do with it.
Okay,
that's
then there's no sense in discussing it. Okay.
No, so there is actually a very cogent reason to discuss it.
Okay.
There's a question as to whether or not any water company... or plumber that's coming to replace a meter should charge $425 for excavation, which in fact here was a 2 minute just using a hand, not even using a tool, to scrape the mud off the or the dirt off the top of the plate where there's it's like 1 inch of dirt. If they charge $425, there's a good question as to whether that should be accepted as a fair and valid charge. Maybe there was. Maybe they had to dig down and excavate the whole water pit to see that it was cracked, or maybe the water pit itself was bad and they had to replace it, in which case the charge might be correct. We need to see the bill. We need to find out what they actually did. And as regards as the previous sentences that I was disputing, I'm saying we need to postpone this whole issue here and have witnesses called at the next, under oath, at the next meeting, Toby and KTK, and have them come and talk about what they saw and what they did.
I'm sorry, sir. We don't call witnesses under oath.
I do.
No, you don't. Not here.
Well, maybe not in this venue, but I will call witnesses in some venue, sir.
Okay.
Next. Where is the cost or excessive, da-da-da? Again, I don't know why it's here, because I have no reason to be any part of that. It's nothing to do to my actions or inactions. Whereas it is the recommendation of the licensed operator of the water and sewer plants that the waiver be denied. According to Toby, I talked to him 5 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago, he never recommended that because when I explained to him that, in fact, I had not actually been having anything to do with the water meter or the pit for many years, he admitted and agreed with me that, in fact, that the flooding could not have been caused by anything that I did several years ago. And also, if there had been flooding, then the water would have come up in the pit previous to the one bill that I have for the high bill in the last 3 or 4 years, whatever, from when I actually did something with the pit to turn off my water before I left the country. The point is that my action had nothing to do with the fact that there was flooding in the pit or that there was any kind of connection between the fact that the flooding caused the meter to corrode so much that it would actually be leaking, which is what they found, and that, in fact, that... if there had been flooding previously from a leaky water meter, I would have had previous water bills that were high, just like this one, not just 72, but even more dollars. There was not one, if you check the water bills, and Jill can do that for us, there's not one bill that says that there's actually a higher than normal water usage. So the whole reasoning of this resolution is false and faulty.
Thank you. Is there anybody else in the public?
Not finished.
Sir, are you still on the same whereas? I mean, the same...
Now, therefore, the Roosevelt Council supports the recommendation of the licensed operator. I'm saying that that recommendation is a misunderstanding, and we need to call him in here and have him testify under oath, sir.
And you have said that?
I'm now restating it.
Okay.
Will you allow that?
The council isn't even discussing this yet. So we've heard what your position is.
I'm asking a question, yes or no. Will you allow it?
We will discuss it.
Can I ask counsel to advise?
No.
Any member of the governing body can remove an item from the consent agenda, in which case it gets discussed by the council and the council makes a decision.
Okay. Are you willing to remove the item and put table till next time?
If somebody wants to remove it, they can remove it.
I'd ask that it be removed. Then remove
okay,
it.
But we're not doing that yet. We haven't made a motion to introduce it. Okay. Thank you. Is there anybody else from the public? Ms. Parrott?
Good evening. Maureen Parrott, 2 Tamara Drive. I have some questions regarding Resolution 17-75, authorizing Code Red agreement renewal. It looked to me like it was $7,500 for 3 years.
It's $2,500 a year, correct? It's been that, that's the same rate that we've had for the last 9 years. We haven't changed it.
I'm wondering, is Code Red required by law? And do they charge based on the number of people that receive the Code Red notice, or how do they charge on it if not?
They charge, I believe it's based on the number of residents.
That's what I thought.
I mean, we do a fixed rate every year.
So it's possible that that could be eliminated entirely and save $7,500 over the 3 years?
You want to eliminate Code Red? That's how we notify most of the town of events, whether it be an emergency, a meeting, or whatever. That's how we notify the town under the court order about the vote.
Well,
we use it on a regular basis.
I've never gotten any Code Red notice, nor have I been. I mean, I
don't believe you're signed up for Code Red.
Right. That's why I'm saying I don't see the harm in not having it at all. And then I just, my own view is that it's completely an unnecessary expenditure if it's not required by law. And I would urge you to take that off the consent agenda, discuss it, and hopefully vote against it.
Thank you. Anybody else from the public on the consent agenda? Okay. Do I have a motion on the consent agenda?
Yes, I'd ask you to remove number 17.
Can we get a motion on the consent agenda?
No. First you remove things.
First remove things.
We get a motion, discussion, removal.
No, first.
First
you remove things.
Okay.
Thing.
We'll remove first. Okay. 17.
1779. And also 1775 in light of the public comments.
Any others?
Second.
What?
Well, those are the removals.
Well, I didn't think there were any more, so I seconded those.
Oh.
Okay. Do we have any more removals? Do I have a motion on the consent agenda, less 1775 and 1779?
Move the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay. So, going in order, 1775. Mr. Hamilton?
Aye.
Well,
no, Mr. Hamilton.
I'm sorry. I thought we were
discussion?
Voting.
You,
are you not voting on the consent agenda now?
Without
yeah, we had a motion, yeah. We had a second, we
yeah,
had
but
a
we
discussion,
didn't
we didn't do a roll call. Okay.
Okay, ready for
the
roll call?
All right. Reboot. Time to reboot.
We're seconding things that didn't happen. We're not doing roll calls on things that did. Yeah, roll call. Good idea. Please.
Okay, Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Aye again.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Ticton?
Aye.
Mr. Tremath?
Aye.
That being, I believe, hopefully settled. Mr. Hamilton, Resolution 1775.
Okay, I'm removing it. I just removed it from the consent agenda because there was public comment on it. And I know council didn't have a chance to comment on it either. Do you know how many people are signed up for Code Red?
636, something like that.
So what percentage of town is that, of the population?
It's pretty high.
About two-thirds.
80%.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's both email and...
It's if you sign up, you can sign up, for instance, when there's a Code Red. My text goes off, my cell phone goes off, my email goes off, and my home phone goes off.
Okay.
You can sign up for any or all of them.
Yeah. Do any towns do this on their own, or is that very difficult to do?
It's very difficult to do.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I figured you would know more about it than
yeah. We would,
a lot of us would.
Okay. We've got dialers and all that good stuff. And it is worth noting that most of the towns around here rely on Code Red.
Okay.
When we did the initial study... I think Dan Hoffman was came up with Code Red.
Yeah.
We looked at a number of possibilities. This was the most common. I can't say it was the least expensive, but it was the most common, most efficient.
And this is a 3-year contract?
It's a renewal.
Oh,
the deadline for
contract.
The renewal is June 1. We got it after the last meeting and before this one.
And it is based on population not to exceed 1,000.
So that's our town.
So we think
it's
we
a
have
really
a motion
useful
in a second.
Tool.
No, we
have no motion.
I think it's a really good thing to have in town. The water sewer notices that we get, the snow, all those other things. I think it's essential to keep the town informed.
It is how we notice when, for instance, there was a water break at the water plant, sewage problems, whatever. Please don't use water, don't flush. Tank's got a problem, whatever. In addition to, you know, your standard but rarer emergencies.
How else would we disseminate that information if not for Code Red?
Well, many years ago, we had Ann Rector drive around on the bullhorn.
The problem is the last time.
The last time we had people going around on the bullhorn, they couldn't understand it.
No, she did it all herself, bullhorn.
Did she do it in shifts for people who work? If somebody isn't home, right, it's not going to do you any
yeah,
good.
I'm
and then
no,
they get
I'm
home and use
I mean,
the water.
I'm not being facetious, it's the truth, but I'm just saying that's how we disseminate information.
Only in our communication.
Okay.
All right. Can I get a motion, unless there's more discussion? Can I get a motion on 1775?
So moved.
Second.
Please call the roll.
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Aye.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Ticton?
Aye.
Mr. Tremell?
Aye.
We now move on to 17-79. All right, so I'm going to ask for a motion and a second to start the discussion. Motion on 1779?
Discussion first or motion first?
Motion to open it for discussion.
I move 1779 for discussion.
Second.
Ms. Lapode, would you like to handle this?
Well, can I ask just who wrote the resolution?
I wrote the resolution.
Based on information
and I fixed it up.
From?
Oh, you changed it. Yeah.
Based on information from?
Toby. So, Toby has spoken to me several times about this particular change out of a water meter. Our water meters have reached all the water meters were replaced all at the same time, and that was over 10 years ago. They have a 10-year warranty, so they are going bad slowly one by one. However, in this case, Toby felt very strongly, and I have an email from Toby where he puts forward the facts of the case, and if you'd like to delay voting on this until you can receive a copy of that email, I'm perfectly happy to do that. Toby felt really strongly because he saw that the damage in this particular water meter was caused by moving the valve, shutting the valve repeatedly, perhaps overturning that valve, and also from draining the water from the house into the pit that the meter had not been designed as a submersible, and it had been submerged for some period of time, and it was corroded. Toby had to call out KTK for some excavation, which is why the bill exceeds what it normally would be for a regular change out of the water meters. We do have, so one of the questions when I first joined the council was, so do you want to just replace all these meters? Well, it seems we shouldn't replace a meter till it goes bad, and that we should have a program where we replace meters on a periodic basis so that over a 10-year period you eventually change out all the meters, but you don't change them all out at once because then they will go bad at once. That's the problem we're in now. Yes, there are. There's a bill here that Anna made a copy for me for KTK, and it's for $425. I'm happy to pass that one around. And there's a sales invoice here for the cost of various pieces of the water meters, and you can read this as to which parts of the meter it included, but there's a new meter and a new antenna, and they add up to $494. Toby was very exercised about this one because he felt that the repeated manipulation of the valve had led to a crack that had led to this extreme pit water problem. And I should also say that when there is a problem with a water meter, every single one of these comes to the council, and the council does vote on whether to waive the overage charges. The reason that is because the collector has said that that's the only way that it is auditable, and so every one of these comes to the council if there is a waiver of overage charges. So, but this one is unique because Toby requested denial of that waiver, saying that the $72 for the overage charges is a small amount, and yet it's almost, you know, it's over, it's about $900 for the excavation and the cost of the replacement of the new meter. And he felt that it was not justified to give the waiver. I will print out the email from him and supply it to the council for the next meeting if you'd like.
What is our motion to table?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion to table. I'd like to discuss before I make a motion to table, though.
Okay.
If these meters are 10 years old, this was going to be replaced out anyhow. Is he saying that this meter failed because the homeowner tampered with it in a way that stripped the threads?
Yes.
Damaged it maliciously? What is being said here? What did he say in his email?
Well, there was a period of time when the homeowner would call George Vasseur to turn off the meter and then turn it back on again as he, you know, when he went out of town versus coming back into town. But in recent years, that has not been the case. And Toby did feel that the homeowner had manipulated that thread and in doing so had over-tightened it perhaps, and that there was a stripping of the threads which then led to the damage to the meter.
I have a question. Are we talking about the valve or the meter? Because you turn the valve, which controls the fluid going into the meter. So if the valve was broken as a result of whatever was done to it, whether the meter had to be replaced or not almost becomes irrelevant. The issue is that they had to replace the valve.
But this doesn't say replacement of valve. It says
no. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah. The valve is on
the
meter.
You remember the old ones? It didn't go into the meter.
Yeah, with the thing.
Yeah, it went into the valve itself. So.
Well, he said the valve was on the meter. That's how he explained it to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have the valve. You have pipe coming in. You have the valve, then the meter on the other side. And so, if the meter goes bad, the meter is reading the wrong amount of water.
Mm-hmm.
But if the valve goes bad, you just got water.
You got water.
Yeah.
It seems to me I remember maybe this past 4 months that you said that your meter was overcharging you or something like that.
I said it was replaced.
Okay. But before then, was it overcharging or?
I don't think so.
I think I remember
yes,
you saying.
Okay. Sorry, there was a minor overcharge. My accountant happens to be in the.
Okay. Well, then the meters do go bad in their lifetime.
Oh, yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah. Meters do go bad. That's why we're in the process of replacing them.
Mine was undercharging. It said I had zero usage.
I wish mine said.
don't get that fixed.
It's just if there's a malfunctioning meter and there's an overage charge, we have to go through the procedure of approving it, but we invariably approve it because it's established as an overage charge. It seems like this is a different issue, like which the overage charge is really not relevant, but whether there was some sort of tampering with the destruction of property, basically, in which case that's something probably should be dealt with some way other than by a denial of an overage charge.
Well, the overage charge isn't really relevant.
Unless I think Toby's position is, and I'm not arguing either way because I wasn't there, but I think Toby's position is you broke the valve, and that's why water was going through when it shouldn't have been going through, or not going through when it should have gone through, whatever it was. This is likely to be tabled and brought up to the next meeting. We are discussing it at the table.
Can I comment?
No, you may not.
Why don't we
public portion, you can comment on anything. I want to finish the conversation at the table.
Why don't we save time here and table and get some more information?
Yeah.
The email
yeah.
from Toby.
Let's
people
get a written
talk to
statement
Toby
from
about
Toby
it.
That
yeah.
everyone sees it. We'll see exactly.
So
what the
I'll make the motion
is.
To table
yeah,
1779.
Second that.
So up too late.
I'm sorry.
It was by a nose, though. It was by a nose. Oh, yeah.
You seconded it?
No. Mike Ticken.
Oh, sorry, Mike.
I seconded.
Yeah, it was Mike.
Mike and Michael.
We'll get it right.
Okay. So, yeah, let's do a roll call.
Moving on.
On table.
Excuse
me?
Down there. Do one for me.
Hamilton.
I'm sorry, still checking up with that. Yes.
Ms. Lavoie?
Yes.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Something in
Mr.
the water.
Mr. Tickton?
Yes.
Mr. Tremath?
Yes.
Okay, and I'm sorry, we have a lot to do. You will get a chance to talk at the end, and it's being tabled, so you'll be able to bring in whatever you want to bring in. Okay, I think we now move on to second reading and public hearing on 2017-003. So we would go first to the public hearing. Do we have a budget? A draft?
George Lang is fine-tuning it. I spoke to him at length. He, give me a second. I really don't feel well. First of all, he had to have the final numbers on the referendums. He had wanted the final numbers on fire suppression services, and there were a few other things, and he said that it would be ready. He did not want to present it tonight, especially at such short notice. He's still fine-tuning it, and he wants to have one more meeting with the Finance Committee.
Okay. Can we get a draft?
So, sure.
Okay, because I think we're 2 months past, and he's still fine-tuning
it.
No.
I haven't received it. I'm on finance. I haven't received the draft
yeah.
either.
No,
I think we all ought to see it.
What he would like is, what we were discussing, is to have a special meeting, just a quick one, to introduce the budget. Possibly.
Not introducing the budget until we've had a chance to review it.
Well, right. Obviously, well, if you'd let me finish, we would
Sorry.
Have it by then. He would like a special meeting possibly next Tuesday, the 30th, I believe it is, where we would have it by then. We could introduce it. And then 28 days later, which would actually be a Tuesday, would be June 28th, I think, instead of the 27th, something like that. If we could either move our council meeting to that Tuesday so we could have the second reading and adoption, or meet on Monday, come back on Tuesday just to pass it. If not, he said, if you don't want to have the special meetings, it could wait until July, but he would prefer that it didn't.
That is specifically what I'm objecting to. I do not want an introduction when we have not seen it, because what's going to happen is we're going to have an introduction.
I just got done telling you. We will have it if we have a special meeting next Tuesday the 30th.
To introduce the budget.
But we will have seen it before. Oh, you want to discuss it in public before you introduce it?
No, I want to see it.
Right. You'll have it before that.
But we were going to have it at the last meeting. We were going to have it at the meeting before that.
No.
I want, maybe the answer is I just call George and say I want whatever draft there is. Because what's going to happen is we're going to come in on Tuesday, we're going to be presented with it for the first time, we're going to be asked to vote on it.
No,
we're going to make changes.
I specifically told him that we need to see it. We need to see it. And he said if we have a special meeting next Tuesday, everyone will have seen it by then, and then we can come in and introduce it.
With all due respect, I don't believe him. Where we keep doing this over and over again. We can't do it because we don't have this, we can't do it because we don't have the state aid, we can't do it because of this. And yet Hightstown has it, Allentown has it, Princeton has it, Millstone has it, and all of them had it filed on time 2 months ago. And I'm sorry if our CFO is having a problem with it, but I don't know why
well,
he can't just send us the draft.
I think that he prefers to do it as we mentioned.
I don't care what he prefers to do. His legal obligation is to have it done. That's his legal obligation, is to have that budget available for us on time. It's 2 months later. It's 2 months late.
Well,
we've had all kinds of statements about what's in it, what's not in it. I do not want to have it presented because here's what exactly what's going to happen. It will get presented. You'll have the first reading. People will read it. They'll say, oh, there are changes. Well, now we can't have the second reading because those changes are going to be material. Okay? Well, those changes are material. You can't do the second reading, so now we have to start the process all over again. We will have wasted even more time. So
well,
I'm going to ask...
If it is not introduced tonight, what would you like him to do?
I want him to send me whatever he has now. Send it to all of us.
Yeah. I was just going to say not to you, to everyone.
Send it to everybody. Send it to the world.
We all need a chance to go through it and look at it. Cause
well, that's why...
nobody likes to sit there and have a... however many pages it is in the long form to sit there and go through when you're sitting at a meeting. So I think he should be able to get us through what he has already, and anything that needs to be tweaked or whatever, we can all chime
in on.
Well,
that's why I had contacted him and said, where's the budget? And he gave me the reasons why we didn't have it yet.
I will be glad to call him. I've had discussions with him in the past. I've had discussions with him in the past where he's made it clear why it was he didn't want to deliver it.
Yeah.
And he delivers it nonetheless.
Yeah.
But we can't keep waiting. We're violating the law.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not your fault, but he's not coming up with it.
As I said, I contacted him because I wondered, I was concerned.
There were a couple other times I remember introducing in June and passing in July, that kind of thing. But there was usually something odd going on with state aid numbers during those times where you had to wait on it, and then all of a sudden it was issued at the last
minute.
The referendum was going on, so that was unusual.
Yeah, well, he got
well, and
the
also
reasons
whether or not
gave.
There's litigation
right.
Regarding some issues that we may want to budget for possible litigation, too.
Yeah, I mean, those were.
That's a real wild card.
Right,
we
but the problem is that all of the. That's where he started.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But all of the surrounding towns who relied on exactly the same state aid.
Oh, he can give us
similar
what he's
issues.
Got. He should just give us what he's got, and we can work
start.
With it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can tell him that. I mean, I did. That's why I contacted him, because I was concerned. He gave me the reasons why it would not be introduced tonight. And
makes sense.
So if we can get a draft, preferably in the next 2 days.
I'll tell him.
If he says no,
please send it to all of us.
Yeah. Please. Send it to the borough clerk, and the borough clerk will distribute to everybody. Okay. If for some reason he's unwilling or unable, please let me know.
Well, I think he's not willing. I think he just has his reasons.
If he won't come up with it in the next 2 days, please call me. I will visit him.
It's not necessary.
Okay.
I repeat. Okay. So, and the reason this comes up, folks, is because we're talking about a request to, well, it's the second reading of an ordinance which allows us to establish a cap bank and take certain action with respect to the budget. And normally you have a budget with you when you do it. Clearly there's an advantage to, I mean, we have to do it anyway. But, okay, so, sorry, we're now in the public hearing still. Ms. Parrott?
Parrott again to Tamara. I would urge you to. I don't know what the proper procedure would be. That it's on a second reading, but how could you possibly know if the budget is going to exceed if you don't have a budget? I don't see how that could happen.
We have a temporary budget which has to be passed by the 30th day of the year, which covers us for the first 90 days, basically the first 3 months, the quarterly. We can spend 26.25, I always get that one right, 26.25% of what we spent last year. If we start exceeding that or we go beyond the 3 months, then we have to have some way to basically adjust the budget. We have to specifically appropriate by ordinance the fact that we're going over that three-month period, among other things. We also have to establish our cap bank. So... obviously, I'm not happy about it, but I think we have to do it. It's my personal belief.
I do agree with the mayor in terms of the budget ought to be done in a timely fashion. and that it also, I would think that, I mean, if there are going to be changes made to the budget by people on the council, then I would urge you to follow the procedure and make those changes in public. And if it requires reduction of a budget, then so be it. But rather than to do it behind the scenes, make all the changes, and then we don't really get a chance to comment or know even what they were. So I would ask that when that draft budget be given to the council, it be put on the website so we can look at it too.
We do. There is a 28-day period during which you can comment on it, and I don't think we're permitted to put drafts up on the website.
Why not? Introduction copy.
Yeah, but we won't have an introduction copy.
Yeah. Well, the introduction copy, will be public.
Yeah. Yeah.
But drafts are usually considered advisory consultative. Advisory consultative? Deliberative. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Is there a prohibition on having the
input
from
public? There's no legal prohibition. It's just it's one of those things that can be withheld under Oprah, but there's no, if they choose to do it, they can.
So I would urge you to choose to do it in the name of open government and letting the public comment on the budget before, when there's an opportunity to really make those changes, unless you want to do it the way to delay it again. I mean, obviously it's a built-in situation that if it's already late and you don't want to delay it by reintroducing it, then to me it would make more sense to let the public know about the changes before it's formally introduced, because otherwise it's a built-in situation that the council is going to say, well, we don't want to make any changes now because it's going to delay it.
So my point was that if you make changes, you do the introduction. If you then make changes, you can't. So if it changes materially between the first and the second, mm-hmm. Okay, then the first doesn't count anymore.
Right.
So now we have to start all over again. None of us have seen the budget, so there may be proposed changes. There may not. No idea. Mm-hmm. Really have no idea. But, yeah, we can certainly talk about it.
Right. Since it's not prohibited, I don't see how there's any harm in letting the public participate in this deliberative process.
Does anybody see any harm in doing that? Interesting suggestion.
Let's check. We don't have it yet, but if there's no prohibition, I don't.
Yeah, I don't see any harm in it. I think
you.
We should.
Appreciate it.
Okay. I'd like to see other comments from public input on budget.
Any more? Any additional comments from the public on second reading and public hearing of Ordinance 2017-003? There being none, can I have a motion on 2017-003?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Okay. Mr. Hamilton.
I'll make the motion.
No, you said you wanted to.
Oh. No.
Talk about it?
Don't worry.
Okay.
Too much talk.
Okay. any comments or questions at the table about Ordinance 2017-003? There being none, could we please call the roll?
Ms. Bona.
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton.
Yes.
Ms. Lapode.
Aye.
Ms. Malkin.
Aye.
Mr. Dickens.
Aye.
Mr. Tremell.
Yes.
We now move to introduction and first reading of an ordinance 2017-004. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Got that, Mr. Tickton. So 2017-004, introduction and first reading, an ordinance of the Borough of Roosevelt amending and supplementing Chapter 7, Vehicles and Traffic, Section 7-10, regarding parking on Homestead Lane. This, if passed, will be the first parking ordinance passed in the last 20 years. So what the ordinance basically provides is that in the front of the synagogue, from the center line of the walkway that comes out, 50 feet to the right and 50 feet to the left constitutes a no parking zone. So 100 feet in front of the synagogue.
No, I was going to say, and also parking in the correct direction, but that negates it because you can't park there anyway.
Well, it's not, and that part's state law, it's not in the ordinance. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Could remind people.
Any questions, discussion about 2017-004?
Yeah. It's actually, it's the edge of the sidewalk where this, from any direction, it's actually more than 50 feet, because it's 50 feet, plus the width of the sidewalk.
So 54,
50 feet from the each side.
On a question.
I would consider changing it to the sidewalk as it exists now, and perhaps put in a minimum bound.
Penalties, towing, tickets, how does that work?
It refers back to the general penalty section, which I believe is section 1-5 of the ordinances, which I don't remember off the top of my head. I think it's
really?
Fines up to...
There is one, yeah.
There, no, there is. There is fines, yeah. Up to 1,200.
1,250.
1,250. And... even imprisonment, I think, but I don't think anyone's ever getting imprisoned for a parking offense, but I think technically that's in there.
And more likely, but once it gets cleared, they can tow. We can tow.
Okay. So how does it manifest itself? If somebody's parked there, then...
Tow truck comes up, the driver starts yelling, they get into a fight, the police show up.
Gotcha. Okay.
Let's hope not.
Yeah, no, I hope not. Okay. More questions on 2017-004? We got a first and second, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Please hold the roll.
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Abstain.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Tickton?
Aye.
Mr. Termel?
Aye.
Should be noted that this, like any
yes,
other
public
enforcement, that is any other ordinance that's enforced in municipal court, doesn't become enforceable until the assignment judge has approved it.
Mm.
Yes.
So it has to be submitted to through the joint municipal court.
And in addition, the public hearing will be held June 12, 2017 at 7 p.m. at the Borough of Roosevelt, 33 North Rochdale Avenue, Roosevelt, NJ, 08555, to wit, on June 12th, we're meeting here, 7 o'clock. It's our next regular meeting. We now move to reports of committee chairs. Mr. Hamilton, Public Works.
Yesterday, May 21st, we had our townwide litter pickup. From all reports, it was very successful. I think we had about 21 people there, which is, I think, a great turnout. There were comments from the county person that assists us with it that because we do it twice a year, that really we do a pretty good job in our town. We don't wait for things to get built up and to have a lot of litter all over our roads. So the comment was that that's a good thing to do. We also had three organizations, and I hope the public understands that part of what happens is if an organization gets involved in litter pickup and people go and they sign in as part of an organization, they can qualify for a $500 grant. And one of the suggestions that we have made is that organizations take advantage of this any time they can. This time, I think the Roosevelt Education Foundation put in for a $500 grant, which is great. Look, there's nothing wrong with free money. And the bulletin had people there and put in for it, and $500 is a lot of money in it for a small little budget, and
mm-hmm.
That helps out a lot. I also think Eric Schubiger was there and maybe put in some request for a grant too, possibly through the Recreation Coalition or something. I don't know exactly how that works, but it was a good turnout, great weather, and the town does a great job, and our citizens really do pitch in, and it's great. I think things look really good around town. I just want to remind the public that June 5th there is a branch pickup, and I don't see many signs, and with the lack of a bulletin board, I think we have to keep on announcing these things at meetings. So if there's a lot of branches around in your backyard, don't put them in the green belt. Take them out and put them at the curbside for the branch pickup.
Can we use code red for that to remind people?
Or is that not an emergency?
Yeah, there's actually two levels. There's emergency and notice.
Is there a cost to use code red? And
sure, $7,500 over 3.
Besides
that.
I mean, if
no,
we may as well then,
right.
May as well use it for all kinds
right,
of
right, that's what I said. We might as
well,
since we don't have the bulletin board.
There's one danger, Mike, and that is crying wolf. I mean, people tend not to pay attention if we do it constantly.
Sure.
And historically, when we did it, they stand up and pay attention. So just want
to
be a little careful about that. What's that?
A flyer to go out in the mail.
Okay.
Yeah, there were flyers in the mailboxes.
I mean, if we have time, we try to do it by flyer, and if there's no time.
Yeah, makes sense. Just an update on the roofing project. For people who haven't been around, we know we need to replace at least this section of the roof that goes over the Borough Hall portion to this back wall over here, because we have existing leaks, a crack in the wall. And I believe it's been quite some time since we actually had a new roof put on. I talked to Anna Debevic. I'd like to get a few more quotes and just see if we can get a few more quotes and then move quickly on it. We're in a good position right now. We've approved the $30,000 appropriation, which is money that was part of an existing bond that was already appropriated, so we didn't have any bonding expenses for it. But Anna's going to go out and see if she can get a couple other prices on one price on re-roofing this section, a second price on re-roofing the other section that extends from this wall over to the bays of the first aid squad, and also quotes or pricing on an entire roof in one fell swoop, just to see if there's any economy of scale in doing the whole roof as one project and not two. Which makes sense, because if companies are going to come out and just maybe bring out one dumpster and one crew, there may be some cost savings in that. So,
well, it's also the thing, if you're going to put those steel beams in and raise that roof, it's going to have to be replaced anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
On the garage side, you're talking about
first aid.
Yeah, if you get rid of the columns over there, that would be very nice.
Okay. One of the things that I mentioned at the last meeting was concern about the smoke detectors that we have, which I think are antiques. They're pretty old. At least by the looks of them, they look old. I don't know how often they're tested. Excellent. Good.
Actually, compliments of the Roosevelt
Fire Department.
All right.
Now being returned.
How many do we have? We have one over here, one over. And also get a carbon monoxide detector for that, especially for that one.
Also, I believe these are hardwired, so I don't think this replaces.
Oh, they are? Okay.
Is that a carbon monoxide detector as well, or just smoke?
I think it's just smoke.
Many of them nowadays are both.
Yeah.
Smoke alarm.
Yeah.
Smoke alarm, that's all.
CO2.
I'm not going to test it.
Don't say it.
No, but I think because we're next door to the first aid squad building, we could really use a carbon monoxide detector as well.
Well, Piosha has actually talked to us about
that
recently.
I know.
So.
Yeah. Also, so I want to follow up on that, Kelly, and make sure that we get those replaced as soon as we can. Also, the sink in the first aid squad bathroom, having that repaired, I think we had a citizen volunteer to do that, but if it doesn't get done, then perhaps we could spend whatever little money it's going to cost to just have that bathroom sink repaired so it drains properly. I talked to Anna Debevic, and she had some recommendations because of some concerns that I had in reviewing the bills, and finance had reviewing the bills list, about saving the borough some money. As we all know, many of us on the council know, we can use interlocal agreements to save money and share the cost of a lot of things with various other agencies, whether it's the county or other municipal governments. We have a shared service agreement right now with the county, and it ran from December of 2008, runs all the way through the end of 2018. And those kind of agreements really do save us money a lot of the time. That shared service agreement, the one we have with the county, I think they can do catch basin cleaning and vacuuming it out and really maintaining that, which is a good thing. They also can do plowing and salting of roads. depending, of course, on the availability of vehicles, should we have a big snowstorm, who knows what they have available. But I would suggest, and Anna was suggesting too, that we take advantage of that existing interlocal agreement that we have with Monmouth County to do our plowing and salting of our roads.
We did, we have had discussions with them. Yeah. The prices that they were charging were substantially higher than what it was costing us, and then the response time was an issue. Now, we do have a shared service agreement with Millstone for Nerco Road. We have shared service agreements with Hightstown for a variety of things. We were at the shared service summit and part of the discussion this morning. So there's a whole list that I think we gave out. The problem is you have to be careful because some of them are a lot more expensive than what we pay, some of them less. So
I know we used KTK for one of the snowstorms, and I think their cost was $6,000 for snow plowing and salting.
We've discussed this before. It was on an emergent basis.
Yeah.
And the county would not have come out for that, as far as I know.
Because
their position was they couldn't get anybody into Freehold because they were all tied up.
Certainly there are times and conditions where they're unable to do it, but in general, these kind of agreements, whenever possible, we should reach out and see if the county can do it, especially for things that are relatively predictable. Now, snowfalls, they have an unpredictable element, but also they're predictable, and that's why they have the Weather Channel on TV. They sell a lot of product that way. But we could do plowing and salting of roads, street sweeping, and I think we have. Did we make arrangements to get street sweeping?
Yes, Steve was actually sending us quotes from the county.
Okay, through the county, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was also wondering, and I don't know if this would qualify, but how about excavation of water meters? Should we need somebody to excavate, we could bring them out, and they could possibly do the minor excavations for water meters, too. Might be something to talk to them about.
If it's cheaper, sure.
We could get prices on it, so I'll talk to Anna about that. We had an interlocal agreement with Hightstown for public work services, but according to Anna, when we looked into it, that expired at the end of 2013.
Well, we've been using it nonstop, so don't tell anybody.
Well, no, maybe it's a different one than what she was talking about. All public work services, or just particular things?
No, we've been using. Well, what they've been showing up for is water, sewer.
Water, sewer.
They were the guys with the hammer trying to get the log into the valve at the base of the water tank.
Okay.
So,
She's also in the process of reaching out to the clerks in Millstone and Hightstown to see if they're interested in looking at public works tasks in particular that we may be able to do.
Holes in the roads.
Yeah, all those things. Yeah. Things that we can generally expect to have
just
to do.
Just to bring you up to date, we've been having this discussion with Allentown for about a year. What we decided was that we were going to split the cost of a public works person to do a lot of the hauling, pulling, pushing, et cetera, that needs to be done. at the last meeting, you objected to it, so we sort of stopped until we could discuss it further.
Okay.
So hiring somebody for 4 hours a day as opposed to 8 is going to be cheaper, and we could certainly use the help.
Okay.
We've also moved around a number of things starting last year, with respect to crossing, with respect to how various things get handled, in part to relieve the incredible burden that Kelly was carrying by herself, which I think has brought her down to 65 hours a week, give or take. So there are other things. So if we're going to do this, we ought to sit down and talk about what's been done.
Yeah.
And then
good
transition
idea.
It in.
Okay. Great.
Jeff, you were also talking about regionalization of services and whatnot?
Well, the regionalization that we were talking... Yeah, well, that's the shared service summit.
Right.
What we were particularly talking about this morning was fire services.
Okay. But for the panhandle itself, all these other services are things that Mike is talking about here, too.
Well, this is a county initiative. It was something that we started probably 2 years ago.
We've done it for years off and on, too.
So
it's just
involved?
The county is now trying to push their... They've got excess equipment and excess people.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to find ways to use it, which is good for us.
No, yeah, absolutely. So are you involved in those meetings also, Mike? Or
I wasn't involved in the shared service summit, but I did read through that, and I thought there were a lot of good ideas in there, and you know, a good outline of what kinds of things they can cover. Yeah. But in a small town like this, I think it makes sense that whenever you can get a good price or a better price, certainly within the realm of an interlocal agreement, you ought to go for it.
Yeah.
And also look at possible other things that we may not have thought of that we could use them for and get pricing on.
I would also, though, consider very carefully things like response time and priorities, because that has been an issue. And there are things where it doesn't really matter if they come out later and dig up the...
that's what I'm saying, are regularly occurring things that we're planning to do. Right. It makes more sense than things that you need right away. Yeah.
And I think as soon as Allentown calms down a little bit, we can go ahead with getting that part-time person.
Okay,
I did... I'm sorry. I had a question for you, but I don't know if you're done or...
Let me just see. No, that's fine. Go ahead.
I don't know if this is you or somebody else, the bulletin board. There's discussion about Fund for Roosevelt paying for it. Then somebody said somebody else was doing it. Who's tracking it?
Somebody
who knows what's going
somebody
on?
Somebody said Gary was doing it?
Well, no.
It was brought up at the last meeting from my recollection. Yes, somebody said that the Fund for Roosevelt was agreed to pay for it.
Well, no, we've been talking
Gary
about...
Gary Edelstein was working on it.
No, we've been talking about paying Gary Edelstein to do it, but then somebody said somebody else was already working on it.
And I had a question.
David Curtis.
David Curtis.
Was the original bulletin board destroyed completely, or does it still exist as, you know?
The original one went away probably in 1952.
No, this one here.
No, this was completely cut up and hauled away.
Right.
Having the smell of gasoline around wasn't going to help us much. So.
Okay, I don't have anything else on public works.
Mr. Tickton, community development, code enforcement, and seniors.
Okay. On code enforcement, we got a report from the Bureau of Rooming and Boarding House Standards concerning the property on Homestead Lane where people were thinking that there was a boarding house use. They investigated, they concluded it was not a boarding house use, that it was a single household. In fact, they said there were people were related, even though you don't have to be related to be a single household, but that it was not a boarding house. And they are very experienced in, you know, going through subterfuges and ferreting out what is indeed rooming a boarding house. So they were satisfied it was not.
Michael, with all due respect, we may not be able to prove it, but it is a boarding house.
Okay, well, you have to be able to prove things. That's the problem.
But it absolutely is a boarding
house. Okay, you have to be able to prove things.
And
action.
This is a state agency, Michael?
Yeah, state agency. And they have, if it's a rooming or boarding house, they're the ones who have exclusive jurisdiction over regulating rooming. They start out with a penalty of $5,000 for operating without a license, and another $5,000 for owning without a license, and that's the beginning of their enforcement procedures. They have a very serious enforcement procedure that they use. I worked with them for many years, so I'm familiar with what they do. Talking to the mayor about the garage redevelopment, he had further meetings with the people. You might want to talk about it. Who were interested in doing the marijuana pharmacy, and apparently they're still interested. They understand they're going to have to bring water and sewer in. They understand that they would be required to be responsible for the security there, and they are nonetheless continue to be interested in it. Perhaps Jeff can comment on it some more. Another point, a week from today, May 29th, is significant. It is the 80th anniversary of the establishment of the Borough of Jersey Homesteads, May 29th, 1937. Officially pass a resolution, introduce a resolution, officially proclaiming it Jersey Homestead's 80th Incorporation Day for next Monday. Okay, that's it.
Thank you. And graduation is this week?
No,
June 10th. At the anniversary, we're having
the 80th anniversary.
We're having Perrin Ireland, who is a great granddaughter of FDR and Eleanor Roosevelt, will be speaking.
How about that?
So.
What was the day the first bus arrived? Because I was 36.
36 in July.
July.
Right, yeah.
Ms. Bona, administration and environmental.
I had something else for seniors.
Yes.
I went to the New Jersey WasteWise Business Network. I think I mentioned it at the last meeting. It's a recycling forum. And I learned about Goodwill. You think of Goodwill as like clothes and household things, but they have a Goodwill used medical equipment recycling program. Mm. And they will accept from people who no longer have use for various medical equipment, including hospital beds, including those lifter things, including some pretty heavy equipment, and they refurbish it, ensure that it passes all the insurance requirements, and then you can buy or rent it if you need said medical equipment. I thought that it would be really useful to provide that information to the seniors who may have need of that kind of equipment on a short-term basis, may not want to invest in it, or if they do have something that they want to get rid of, Goodwill takes it.
Okay, good to know.
Will they pick up?
Yes, they pick up and they deliver.
Because if it's something big like a hospital bed.
That's right. You can't the difficulty
the senior isn't going to take it to them, that's for sure.
Right.
On the other hand, it's expensive enough that it's worth their while to pick it up.
Yeah, that's right.
But they also have consumables like incontinence supplies, it's a low cost.
Great.
That may be something that we want to put in a flyer. In the bulletin?
Yeah, in the bulletin.
Let people know?
Mm-hmm. On the bulletin board at the Solar Village. Yeah.
We're going to continue using the bulletin as a distribution point. I think this takes some legal thinking, but we may want to consider contributing to it ourselves. Mm-hmm. Ms. Bona, Administration, Environmental.
Okay, a few things going on with the Environmental Commission. We received our green challenge in our P.O. box this past Saturday, so I assume everyone has. I'd like to urge everyone to take the pledge to mulch your grass clippings and your leaves for recycling. This will help Roosevelt get sustainable New Jersey points towards our bronze certification, which will open up other possible grants and monies to us for other things. And if you have any questions about the Green Pledge, feel free to contact myself, Eitan, the chair of the Environmental Commission. I hesitate to say call the borough clerk because she gets called about it. And they do need to be documented. So if you don't mind, even if you do it on the website,
we have an area for it here.
Bring them into Borough Hall.
How do you document it aside from filling out the application?
Bring
that's
it to
the documentation.
That's the documentation.
You don't have to take photographs or
only if you're smiling, going like this.
Okay,
and on June 3rd, the Invasive Species Committee is hosting a butterfly park planting. I will be there. I hope to see a lot of our neighbors out there. This is the new pocket park at the corner of Spruce and 571. So now we've removed the invasives, so now we're going to start planting some natives and make it a nice area. And we're hoping to receive the first draft of the forestry plan for the next Environmental Commission meeting, which will be next Wednesday. And that's all I have tonight, Mayor. Thank you.
It's tomorrow.
Well, that is the next Wednesday.
That is.
It's Monday.
I was
going to
say, wait a minute.
It's the next Wednesday.
Yeah, I heard you say next Wednesday, so I thought this Wednesday or next Wednesday. So
probably not tomorrow. And I'm sorry, but Invasive Species Committee always sounds like the title of a very bad science fiction movie.
Well, it's stranger than science fiction because it's happening right in our town, in our own yards.
I'm sorry, things stranger than science fiction happen in our town constantly. This is not a new idea.
And in our yards, in our backyards.
Can you report on public works?
I just want to report that the bear has been spotted. The end of night brother's back out. It's been spotted about 3 times in town. So check your bird feeders, your butterfly feeders, and all that. But he's seemed to move on to Manchester right now. So
what part of town was he in?
He's been on Lake.
He's been behind
Pine,
your house.
He was on Norco, and he was on Clarksburg Road.
And by the way, the reference to he is not necessarily correct.
I don't know.
Correct.
Is it he or she?
Okay, well, it's a very important distinction because if it's a she, she may have cubs. And if you, and I'm sure all of you know this, but it bears repeating, if you see a cub, stay away from it. And if you find yourself between mom and the cub, get the hell out of there. Okay, because she will attack you.
I don't think she has cubs yet, because I think it's looking for a mate season right now, actually.
Didn't ask, but... and now that the Clarksburg's turned down, I mean, she may have a harder time. Okay. Thank you.
The dating isn't very good around here. There's not that many bears.
Yeah, okay, on that note. You have anything to look for?
No. Just about the ABC license that you handled, so...
And I'm supposed to report on the meeting with the medical...
A question? There was in one of the packets, Allentown had a thing for senior citizens, an ordinance for tax rebates or something like that.
Allentown?
Yeah,
I
think...
In the bulletin?
Not in the bulletin, but in our council packets. Or it was a separate thing in the mailings and the email. There was something from Allentown had done an ordinance, and they're passing it around the state for senior citizen tax rebates or something like that. Never mind. I'll bring.
Yeah, you did. There was.
That was a few
weeks
ago, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't in the
packet.
It was in a mailing a week ago or so.
So I'll bring it. I'll bring it to the next meeting, and it sounds like something we might want to sign on to. You know, it's help for seniors, which is nice.
And that's from Allentown.
Yeah, they're asking the state to pursue this avenue of like tax rebates or something. It's like
we'll give it to Debbie Thomas.
Okay.
I met with the medical cannabis people. It's not called pot. It's not called marijuana. They've corrected me numerous times. It's different. I don't know how, but it's different. Anyway, they are very interested in proceeding with the gas station. Their current plan is to knock it down and put a modular building on the site. A modular building, they don't mean a home trailer. They mean a building that just happens to be modular. They're talking about buying that property or using that property and using the north property for a greenhouse. And then contracting with some of the local farmers. Obviously, there's a lot to discuss. What we advised them was come up with a conceptual plan that you could show to the council, come in preferably with an engineer or architect, as well as an attorney to explain what the plan is. Once the council decides if and how it would sell the facility, and who's going to handle the water and the sewer and all that good stuff, they would then have to go in front of the planning board. There is an ordinance relating to that property. It talks about buffer zones and the like. They're going to have to comply with that. I basically gave them the basic outline of what they have to do. And when they are ready, they're going to give me a call, and we'll put it on the agenda, and they'll make a presentation.
When you talk about they're going to be growing, how much land do they need for that? Do you know? Did they talk about that?
Well, they're talking about a greenhouse on the north property. Right. They have at least an acre there, and if it's non-permeable, they have more. Then they're talking about contracting with Lawrence and some of the surrounding farms to have some of it grown there. And then a lot of it, what they do now is they ship it in from California. A lot of it is medicinal.
Yeah, right.
Anything from gummy bears to pills to brownies to whatever. We didn't get that much into. just thinking the same. only the sugar coated one.
Okay.
And if they taste like licorice, it's a problem. But otherwise, you're okay.
Okay. Yeah. It's been a calm, laughable meeting. So
yes.
Maybe.
And you're going to keep getting gummy.
Yeah.
I heard strictly a rumor. I had heard that these facilities have armed guards. Do you know if there's any truth to that?
Oh, they probably do. They probably have armed guards, Klieg lights, possibly fences, alarms. You know, they had a brief discussion about apparently somebody, who shall remain unnamed, mentioned jokingly that, you know, the town would like it if they put a little cafe there, and they were taking it seriously. And I had to explain to them slowly again that it was a joke and that while a fortune was to be made by putting a pizza place right next to what they were building, that was probably a security disaster. But generally, I mean, it's going to be a as I understand it, a building, very few windows.
Secure
facility, and that's, I believe, required by law, or at least certainly by practicality.
It would have to be a secure facility. We don't have police to protect.
Right, that's why.
It's an obvious target that's, if it was unprotected, people
would. Yeah, but even if we had a police department, they'd have to. The police don't undertake.
But they can't, they're not the guard, right. They wouldn't stand there all day as guards.
But we do have some good state police, and they do respond quickly. So.
They're not going to park themselves there all night.
Anyway, so once they make their presentation, we can discuss it. I'm going to move on because it's already getting late. We're covering a lot here. Ms. Malkin, finance. Oh, I'm sorry, counselor. Anything to report?
No, Mayor, I can't follow bears and cannabis. So I have nothing tonight.
Give it a try.
No bear.
Councilwoman Malkin, finance and planning board representative.
Okay, well, planning board hasn't met. As far as finance, well, to continue the thread with KTK, when we paid the bills tonight, we paid a $1,500 bill to KTK for moving the files, and it does seem excessive. We had discussed numerous times using other people beside KTK, especially if it's not an emergency. So I really implore the council to try to find other means of other companies beside KTK. We're using them for everything. We use them for Mr. Cragen's water heater. We use them for snow plowing. We use them to move the files. And so whether this could be...
I would point out, by the way, that was an emergency.
The files?
No, the water pouring in the roof on the files and having to move the files... having to move the files from the attic to here, these files over to the trailer and the gear in the trailer over to the firehouse.
I understand that, but if we had begun to use some other company, it's possible that then we could have called them as well.
Do you have a recommendation for a company?
No, I haven't looked into it at all.
I would say that, number one, they do cut us... Look, I'm not a fan or non-fan of KTK, okay? But they are responsive, and they do often cut us breaks. They do come into town a number of times to take care of things for which they don't charge us, the bulletin board being one, but a very minor one. But there are other things that they do for us on a fairly regular basis. If you think they're too expensive,
let's find somebody else to put on contract. Well, the CFO has been urging us to branch out.
Well, and I urge him to do a budget and pay attention to that first.
Well, one thing has nothing to do with the other. They're two different issues.
If we get that part-time shared service public works pusher hauler guy, that would alleviate a lot of that, would it not?
Well, it would alleviate some, but we don't have a backhoe, which we need. We don't have a plow, which they use.
Yeah, but then we wouldn't need KTK for moving boxes.
This was actually a crew of, I think,
Public Works could do that.
I'm sorry?
These other things that don't require specialized equipment, like moving the boxes, the... part-time public works pusher puller guy could do that, and KTK we call when we need a backhoe or a snow plow or
exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Exactly. But this has come up many times, and we haven't put it into effect.
Well, there are some snowstorms where you need more than just
Understand that what happens is that once Kelly does the first several passes, and then she does one side of town, they do another side of town because otherwise you just can't keep up with it.
Yeah,
you know, we just don't have. And even if we could get to it fast enough, we don't have a deuce and a half. We got a Ford 250, right? And there's just so much it can push in a given amount of time.
Well,
but a substitute, another group that we can call on that's responsive, I'm fine with.
Well, we've been saying that at every meeting, but we haven't.
So make a recommendation.
I did. I've made them at previous meetings that we...
Who? Did you come up with a name? Anybody?
No,
with rates or anything?
That's not my... I am not the one who hires people. I would have no idea. We could ask Anna to do it. We could ask Kathleen to do it. I would not know who does that type of work. I wouldn't profess to know. But obviously, if there's KTK, there are other companies.
But you know they pay too much. Okay. Can we get a list of, companies that do snow plowing, digging, whatever, occasionally, whatever the hell they're called, and... see if we can get some bids on a per hour rate, and then let's find out compare them to KTK's rate.
if we had a bulletin board, you could put some public notices up there requesting if anybody knows of anyone or if there's any companies that do this, small companies. Might be worthwhile. They might be hungry and willing to cut us a break.
Just be careful.
If
with
we had a bulletin board.
As long as they have the capability of responding.
Also, you have to be insured if you're going to do municipal work, too, because mm-hmm. we don't want to take on the liability of having...
You have to pay prevailing wage. You have to...
Yeah. So they'd have to be companies who...
Put it up on the bulletin board in the post office. We do have the inside bulletin board.
Yeah.
But I'm just pointing out that I don't know that KTK is the cheapest. I'm not in any way professing that they are. I'm simply pointing out that the examples that we're using were emergency examples. The night before the election, when we had them scheduled to start at 11 o'clock at night and go for 24 hours, for which they charged us $6,000 for three crews or whatever it was, us calling them on an emergent basis, I believe on a weekend, saying, there's water pouring in the roof. We have files in the attic that haven't been touched 20 years, and we're not sending anybody up there without a mask.
I understand all that, but I'm just saying it's come up many times, and we were encouraged to use other companies besides KTK.
Okay.
But we haven't.
Could we look at what we give KTK on a yearly basis, average for the past 3 to 5 years, let's say, and get a list of all that they do, and compare outside sources with possibly hiring somebody within town on staff
I
to...
I think that somebody is not going to work.
You need warm bodies.
Well, it's not warm bodies, though. That's the problem. We keep saying warm bodies. It's not warm bodies. It's lifts. It's grapplers. It's backhoes. It's plows.
Well, that's what I mean. Could we look at a list of all of that stuff? And
yeah, we have it on the... We have an hourly rate for... Okay. Now we relate per laborer, per vehicle, per hour, per all the rest of that. We have that.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the whole thing. And
yeah. Okay. I don't think we need to go back several years. We can just pull out the from the invoices. We can figure out, get the rates.
Okay.
Well, I'd like to read something. I'd like this read, wants to be attached to the minutes and placed on the borough's website. I believe I have a duty to report to the council and the public the following information regarding three bills totaling $100,034 submitted to the borough for payment by R3M Engineering for engineering fees regarding the water sewer system during 2016, which fees were beyond the $55,000 appropriated by the borough council for the water sewer engineering costs for 2016. On the agenda tonight was a resolution to accept the results of the April 25th, 2017 referendum at which the voters did not ratify the $142,500 bond passed by the 2016 council on December 27th, 2016. This bond would have paid the outstanding unappropriated 2016 engineering bills totaling $100,034. A primary reason for rejecting this bond was that New Jersey law renders these bills void because they exceed the sum appropriated for water sewer engineering. In any event, the voters refused to ratify borrowing funds to pay these unappropriated engineering fees. On or about November 8, 2016, the borough clerk informed me as chair of the finance committee that R3M Engineering had billed the borough on November 3, 2016, for engineering work at a cost of $55,048, which sum was in excess of the water sewer engineering fees appropriated by the council for 2016. The next day, I spoke with Chief Financial Officer George Lang, who confirmed that the bill had come in and there was no appropriation to pay it. The CFO and the borough clerk, however, failed to inform me, the finance committee, and the council at any time prior to the referendum that R3M had submitted two additional bills for engineering fees during 2016 beyond the appropriated. These bills are dated December 8, 2016, in the sum of $18,544 for work performed from October 29, 2016 through November 25, 2016, and dated January 9th, 2017, in the sum of $26,441 for work performed from November 26th, 2016 through December 31st, 2016. This month, while reviewing a bill submitted by the borough attorney,
Two members of the Finance Committee noted billing entries for emails related to a meeting to discuss the R3M bills. Mm-hmm. As a result of the inquiry from Councilmember Hamilton, the borough attorney revealed that in the first week of May, a few weeks ago, he had organized a meeting in Freehold, which was also attended by Mayor Ellen Tuck, CFO George Lang, Auditor Jerry Stankiewicz, and Councilman Michael Ticton. Councilmember Hamilton will read the borough attorney's synopsis of this meeting into the record when I have finished.
No, he will not. Absolutely not.
I'd like to continue, please.
I just want to make it
uninterrupted. Although I am the chair of the Finance Committee, I was not informed of this meeting or that a plan for payment of the unappropriated engineering fees was being considered by the borough's financial professionals. I am concerned that the Finance Committee was evaded and that the mayor and one council member met with the professionals and withheld information from the Finance Committee and devised a plan to pay unappropriated engineering fees after the public refused to ratify a bond designed to pay these fees. I am concerned that these professionals are acting contrary to the will of the voters expressed on April 25, 2017, that referendum. I am concerned that the use of money from an unrelated bond to pay these engineering fees is improper because the unrelated bond was passed by the Borough Council to pay other costs, and the use of the bond money to pay fees for which the bond was not passed undermines the will of the Council in passing the bond and deprives the voters of the statutory opportunity to petition for a referendum on such bond. I am concerned that these professionals may be acting contrary to the interests of the Borough and its taxpayers in seeking to pay unappropriated engineering fees which may have been rendered void by operation of the law. New Jersey Statute 40A:4-57, which provides no officer, board, body, or commission shall, during any fiscal year, expend any money except to pay notes, bonds, or interest thereon, incur any liability, or enter into any contract by which its terms involve the expenditure of money for any purpose for which no appropriation is provided, or in excess of the amount appropriated for such purpose. Any contract made in violation hereof shall be null and void, and no money shall be paid thereon. I'm also concerned about the potential criminal liability. Statute 2C:30-4, which provides a member of a county or municipal governing body commits a crime of the fourth degree if he purposely and knowingly A, disperses, orders, or votes for the disbursement of public monies in excess of the appropriation for that office, division, department, institution, board, or body, or B, incurs obligations in excess of the appropriation and limit of expenditure provided by law for that office, division, department, institution, board, or body. And I'm also troubled that despite a request for legal analysis concerning these statutes, none has ever been supplied to the council. And I waited to see if you gave a report concerning that meeting that you excluded the Finance Committee from. And
let's be clear. Mr. Shackley did not organize that meeting. I requested that meeting. I requested that meeting of our professionals. That's number one. Number two, any discussion of this matter will take place in closed session. And if you read that advice, Mr. Hamilton, it's a very bad idea.
Why?
Because you're breaching the attorney-client privilege.
I'd like
everyone
to ask the borough attorney
client.
For...
Why are we trying to hide stuff from the public?
I'd like to ask the borough attorney for his opinion on that, because from what I understand, we are not in litigation. There's no threats of litigation.
There are absolutely threats of litigation. They've been made here.
I'm not finished.
They've been made in this room.
I'm asking a question, and I have the floor. No, what we were told at the last meeting, not the last meeting, but the last regular meeting, was that there is no litigation. We, in fact, rehired R3M because we have an amicable relationship with them, which is the antithesis of having an adversarial relationship.
Mr. Hamilton, in this room, Ms. Parrott stood up and said, I am going to sue you if you do that.
I have the floor, and I didn't tread on you when you had the floor. So could you just allow me to finish?
No, because the problem that I'm having is that you're sitting here making legal arguments which should be made only
in
closed session.
I'm asking for the borough attorney to give us advice on this as to whether or not disclosing what was written is illegal or in any way I don't understand why the public should not be, and why this council should not be informed as to what's going on with advice that's being given to some council members and not to other ones, and being done behind the scenes, not reported on.
Oh, bullshit.
This is
come on, Mike.
Point of order.
I'm sorry. No, point of order. How many times?
No, this is something that concerns every
taxpayer. I'm sorry. Were you in the litigation over the 300 units? How many times did you meet with your attorneys? Were the council there?
I believe I have the floor. I have the floor.
No, you took the floor.
No,
let me make.
I did
let me
not.
Make an,
granted
I'm sorry.
Me, the chair granted me the floor, and I'm not giving up the
go
floor.
Go ahead, finish your speech. But do not go into.
Why would you
want
to tread on what I have to say? I'm merely stating my opinion that this is a matter that I think
this is a secret opinion, a
no,
secret meeting.
No, that this is.
Come on, Mike. This is how
you
always do it. You state your opinion
if
full of insults
meeting,
and innuendos, and then say, "Why are you replying to me?"
No, what I'm saying is this is a public matter. This is
no, it is clearly not. It is a litigation matter.
Then why was the finance chair or the rest of the finance committee not invited? Why did you not report that you at least attended?
I'll say this again slowly. Okay?
I don't care how you say it. Just say
obviously
it.
Not. Okay?
You
all
know,
of this, you want an answer or not?
As snarky as you want. The point is, you held a secret meeting. You did not tell the other council members about it. You did not tell the chair of finance about it.
The finance committee was not invited. This
I'm
is
sorry.
A finance matter.
There
Come
was
on.
There no. It was a legal matter. There was a discussion.
Why was Michael there if it was a legal matter? Why was
because
Michael
he's a lawyer and he's on the council and he works.
No, he's not acting on behalf of this council. Not
we
in
are
any
the
way.
Clients of Mr. Shackley, the borough. The borough council.
Okay.
Yes, and
borough.
I'd love to stress the borough council, but I think we should do that in executive session.
I think it
should
have been done a long time
hear.
Ago when the meeting occurred, and I think the members of the finance committee and other members of the council should have been aware that this meeting was occurring.
You've now stated it. Now may I reply? Am I allowed to reply, Mike?
Of course, you're going to. Yeah.
Okay. I will take all of your statements as true, all of your accusations, all of your innuendos. Okay.
There's no innuendo.
Not
What's the
yes, there's absolute innuendo. Let's start with the fact that the mayor is entitled to have meetings with the professionals. You do not have to be at every one, number one. Number two, you have often in the past had meetings as mayor.
You didn't
with council. I'm sorry.
To the council.
Can I speak?
You didn't.
I didn't what?
None of the other council, only one council member knew about it unless Stacy or Jill or somebody
Mike,
else.
So what's the point?
You said again and again, I have the floor.
What's
let me speak
point?
Uninterrupted. Mm. Now the mayor is speaking.
Good.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Finish. But really, come on.
You had a meeting to discuss possibilities.
You did.
The intention, as I believe was responded to you, was to have a full discussion of everything that was discussed in a closed session. We go into closed session in certain specific circumstances. One of them is personnel. Another one is litigation or potential litigation. Okay? Discussing those matters in public as opposed to in a closed session is, in fact, something. Those are matters that are not discoverable under OPRA. They're not discoverable generally. And there's a good reason for that. Now, I'm not going to reply to all the bogus legal arguments that you keep raising in your letters.
Please.
And that, okay, I don't want legal advice from you. I don't want legal advice from Peggy.
I'm
I don't want to hear
the borough attorney
up.
For
I'm
legal
speaking.
Advice. I did ask the borough
I'm
attorney
speaking.
For legal advice.
I'm speaking.
I asked the borough attorney for ruling. I didn't ask you for your legal advice on this. You're not the borough attorney.
No, I'm not the borough attorney.
So I'm asking the borough attorney, and I have asked him during my statement. I
no,
asked
you were,
him
you were sitting here.
This, whether
you
or
were
not
sitting here telling me what I was doing wrong, and I am responding to that. Okay,
keep
Mike.
Your ego
Mike,
out
this
of
is
this, and let's answer the question.
This
that I
is not
before, which
ego,
is a legal
this
question.
Is something.
You're not an attorney in this matter. He is.
I'm not
asking.
The borough attorney. Excuse me. Mike, you do this all the time. You make
stop,
insults.
Stop
you
that. Stop that.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
You make innuendo.
Come on.
And then say, don't reply. Don't reply. I didn't ask you. Don't reply. Okay? The insinuation was that I had a secret meeting that I wasn't entitled to discuss matters which I wasn't going to disclose to the council.
You have no basis for that whatsoever, other than your fertile mind.
Then why did we go into closed session tonight? Why was there no need for a closed session tonight?
We haven't gotten to the closed session yet, number one. And number two, I strongly suggest...
If needed.
But you... Rich said we have no need for a closed session tonight, so we obviously were not
going to. And we were
going
to come back to it. I would like to point out that I did urge a closed session, and our auditor and our accountant said we all ought to be there.
All who?
The accountant, the auditor, all the people we met with.
Yeah, we have a closed session at the end.
Why didn't you report that then? Then why didn't you just say there was a meeting? It was strongly suggested that we have.
We haven't gotten there yet.
We're almost done.
Well,
but you still kept that meeting secret. Had we not scrutinized the attorney's bills, we would not have been aware that there was any kind of meeting.
This is the first meeting after that meeting, Peggy.
It is the second, but let's discuss it in closed session. We can answer all these questions in closed session.
But why?
I'd like to know a ruling
on why is this a closed session matter, and why is the public excluded from a discussion on council's plan to pay these bills, which is definitely a taxpayer and voter concern. I'm asking you that right now for your opinion on it.
Yeah, because I think it is anticipated litigation. There could be litigation on several fronts. We have unpaid bills. We could be sued by the vendor. And part of what was discussed, and I really don't want to get into it, part of what was discussed has to do with what happens if that litigation occurs. And we had advice from the CFO and the auditor on that as well. I'd like to talk about it in the executive session.
But there was no executive session scheduled for tonight.
It doesn't get scheduled, Peggy. You call it at the end.
You just asked Rich if there was a need for one, and he said no.
No. He never asked me that. He asked me that at the end of the meeting.
Do you have a report?
He asked me if I had a report for open. At the end of the meeting, he asked me, is there a need for a closed session?
So
or the mayor
are you
says
telling
we
me
have
you were going
need.
To call one tonight?
Yes, we were considering calling one, notwithstanding the fact that our accountant was not here.
Also, why was finance not invited? Why was I am the finance chair?
I know, and your position is don't pay, Mr. Trump.
So
I got
you
it.
Chose
we understood
based
your position.
On my you chose
no,
based on
I
my
chose to meet
who
with
would
the
come to this, who would come to this meeting and who wouldn't based on who agrees with you and who doesn't. Because I don't
Christ
agree
sakes.
That we should pay, so you chose well, Michael instead.
Why
rather
wouldn't
than
the entire
the fact that
council
I'm the
be brought
chair.
Made informed on this? This is going to be a council decision,
oh,
I imagine, right? So why wouldn't the council be informed on all the opinions that were given at this meeting by reporting on the meeting?
And,
okay.
and they will be as well as the results
executive
of what
session.
Happened. In
We've
the
had
session.
Meetings between now and then, and it hasn't been reported on.
We had one meeting a few days after that, yes.
And
so, but it wasn't reported on then?
But a simple
no,
email.
But that was a special meeting.
No, it wasn't a special meeting. It was
Which
a regular meeting,
about?
But we were still waiting for input from the CFO, but I don't even want to get into that input because we're not in executive session.
Well, the CFO
I move to table this to executive session.
Yeah, let's move on. Let's get that no,
I
for
you
a matter for example.
No, actually,
I don't believe,
actually,
I don't
the
believe it.
The attorney just said it was.
I don't believe it is.
I know. You don't believe in a lot of things, but we are moving on. Jill, actually, there is something that's come up from the DEP which impacts this. So I'll let Mr. Putty talk about that.
So in your packets tonight, I believe it's the third from the end. There's a two-page letter that we received, and it starts off with, Dear Permittee, and it's a notice of amendments to the Capacity Assurance Program. These amendments were effective May 15th, 2017. And the letter from the DEP was signed by Gautam Patel, who's the chief of the Bureau of Environmental Engineering and Permitting. There's a lot of legalese involved in the and regulatory language on the capacity assurance, but I think the capacity analysis report checklist, which is on the last page, is something that is relevant and fairly easily understood. What is required of us as a permittee, our sewage treatment plant has a New Jersey Pollution Discharge Elimination System permit, is that we have to report on the dry weather treatment capacity at the plant, the wet weather treatment capacity at the plant, the sources and extent of inflow and infiltration. So these are the kinds of things that R3M was preparing for us in a study. We have to, under number two, do a review of current and proposed water conservation measures to reduce flow, strategies to reduce infiltration, capital improvements to expand existing conveyance or treatment capacity. Under number three, we have to identify and justify measures that are selected based on an analysis of alternatives. Alternative analysis was one of the things that we wanted R3M to provide to us. Number four is an implementation schedule for these alternatives, for various relevant operation and maintenance, asset management plans to incorporate selected alternatives for dealing with the amount of water that's going to our sewage treatment plant. Number five is a description of mechanisms to be used to finance the selected alternatives. And six is a certification that has to be signed. So basically, we're being required to do exactly those things that we wanted to bond to do. The bond would have paid for the reports and analysis that were being required, and they would have spread that out over a long period of time, so you didn't have to pay for it all in 1 year. The bond would be eligible for financing under NJEIT, and we would have been kind of first in line to get that kind of financing. But with this requirement, effective May 15th, 2017, every single facility in the state will be in competition with us. So we have to comply, and I would just ask how you think we're going to pay for that.
For those of you in the audience for which that was not clear, Mr. Cragen, the bond was to pay for an engineering study of INI, infiltration, and whatever the other one is.
Inflow,
thank you. The purpose of the bond was that in order to get financing and grants from the EIT, we had to have a bond. The bond was defeated. A week after, or 2 weeks after the bond was defeated, the DEP issued a regulation that said we must, by law, do everything that we were going to do under the original bond. We must pay from our pockets to have the studies which would otherwise have been paid for by the bond and the EIT. So that is the position in which we find ourselves and have found ourselves for the last week.
I'd just like to add to that that I don't see it that way at all. The bond was to pay for $100,000 in unappropriated, unapproved invoices for R3M. $100,000 of that $142,500 bond was to pay for that. That was how that bond originated. It wasn't to pay for the R3M studies. It was to pay for those invoices that were part of these approvals that shouldn't, that really weren't done at all in a legal fashion. So I don't.
So there
may be merit in these kinds of, and this kind of work and looking at flow and all of that, but to say that that bond that the taxpayers and the voters chose to disapprove of that bond and they were not knowledgeable or whoever promoted them or encouraged them to not vote for it was unknowledgeable and, you know, the experts know that we should have done that, that's ridiculous, because if voters were really well informed as to what this bond was designed to do, and that was to pay for what Mrs. Malkin reported on in her report, $100,034 in unappropriated and unauthorized expenditures for engineering expenses. That's what that bond was for.
And I strongly disagree.
That's what it was for.
I strongly disagree.
What I'm just asking now is, shall we pass another bond now as a council in order to pay for what is required under with this letter?
That's an excellent question, and that is something that we should all discuss openly.
Then let us discuss it. Would you like to have a bond to pay for a study that would comply with this regulatory requirement?
Can I ask a question on this regulatory requirement?
Sure.
Capacity analysis reports, which shall be due, including the above-mentioned items, shall be due 180 days, it's 6 months or so, from the last month of a 12-month period that the treatment plant reaches or exceeds 95% of its permitted flow, that we reach that 95%?
Or 180 days from notification from the department.
Which is May 15th?
Yep.
Okay, so we have 6 months to get our acts together here.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
So I had asked R3M to come here and talk to us. Did you invite them?
I did not.
No.
At the last meeting, I said I would really like to have R3M come in, present to us everything that they've been doing, show us what the work that they've been doing, the work that was done through December 31st. I would like them to come and make a presentation.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I think it's an excellent idea. Why not?
I don't think it's going
to
happen.
I think it's a great idea, too.
So you want them to come into a star chamber so that you can scream at them about whether or not they have, we have their bills.
I'm not knowledgeable enough about water sewer systems to scream at them. I would like to hear what they have to say. First of all, I've never screamed at anyone. And I would not, and I just would like to have them show me what, or show the council and the public what exactly.
Well, I just want to add, this was a suggestion made directly to Finance Committee from our auditor, Jerry Lang, who said that why don't you ask them to come in and present to you and talk to them about the issues rather than, you know, getting information through other sources. So I think it's an excellent
because
suggestion.
As you made clear at the last meeting, it was going to be antagonistic. Two, there's the possibility of settling with them. Three, if you go through their bills, they itemize every minute, every hour of exactly what they were doing.
No, they
line
said
by
they
line.
Review. There was lots of things that they reviewed for 7 hours on New Year's Eve. I found that extremely difficult to believe, that our little town, they spent seven hours on December 31st
I would
reviewing.
Just like to see if we could follow through on the suggestion of having them come to a meeting. I don't really understand why this engineering firm doesn't come and talk to the council about the work that they do.
Maybe because we're not paying our bill?
Yeah. Well, according to the mayor,
we're being berated.
What's the reason for not paying it? You know, there's no money for it. It was unauthorized and inappropriate.
Well, there is money for it.
Can you say those words one more time?
Because I don't
think I've
heard it enough
tonight.
It does not become the truth.
Unauthorized and unappropriated. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Appropriately covered by the second half of the ordinance, I'm sorry, of the statute that we keep not bothering to read, as well as other matters. And if you break down that bill, it includes quite a few things, such as big water main break, they had to show up.
We went through that. We went through the bill.
That's been mentioned many times, but there's many things in there that are not just related to the water main break. They are our employees.
They're not our employees.
We contract to them to provide a service to us.
For a reason.
I don't see what harm can come from having them come and explain.
Because it was unappropriated?
As Mike said, that was suggested to me by our professionals. Let them come and show you and talk to you about what they've done.
I think everything needs to be out in the open. I think the engineer needs to be here. They need to answer questions from us. They need to answer questions from the public who may want to know. We're talking a lot of money that we're using or potentially going to use engineers for, and I think it demands a discussion.
We're talking about a study that was going to be required, that is currently required, and general engineering work that they did. And the fact that you keep using the same words over and over and over again does not make them true. If you want to go through the facts are that the...
How is it that you know the facts and no one else does?
Because I was there. I'm not the one making it up. I was in the damn meetings.
Well, then let them come here and explain it to us.
I'm explaining something to you.
No, I would rather hear it from the professionals.
Well, wait a minute. You want people to come that you don't want to pay so that they can explain things to us, and at the end we're going
to
say, oh, we're still not paying you for this either.
According to our mayor, we do not have an antagonistic relationship with them.
I was proven wrong.
If we're not going to pay them anyway, why would they come?
Oh, from the last meeting to this meeting, you were proven wrong.
But we're not
going to
pay them anyway. You keep sitting there saying we're not going to pay them, so why should they come?
It's a council vote on the matter. I don't make that decision. The council
does.
You've
made it quite clear that you have no intentions of paying these people.
I mean,
why should
they come? If you keep saying we're not going to pay them,
you obviously don't understand. This is a council vote which was made very clear by Mr. Shackley, a borough attorney. Hold on.
No, Mike, you cannot understand if you do not listen. Okay? Peggy, you go, Jeff, one more time.
Yes.
Peggy. All right, look.
Okay, I move for a 10-minute recess so we can all take a breath of fresh air and take it down a notch.
Okay.
Myself included. Move for a 10-minute recess.
Of course, wait a second. But poor Joe gets cut off every time.
Can I just say something simple?
Let Joe give his report because we
did
this to him last time.
I move for a 10-minute recess after Joe is done speaking.
Okay. I have nothing for my report, but I see no problem that we should, as a council, sit with R3M and Jerry and George all together, for that matter, closed or open session, because I'd like to know what's going on myself.
Yes.
And I was a vendor in New York State, New York City, and if I was not going to get paid, if they didn't want to pay me and they asked me to come in to talk to them about what I did, I certainly would want to go and discuss it with them. So whether it's adversarial or not, I don't see why we shouldn't be able to sit down and ask a few questions with these vendors.
I have several times tonight said that the purpose of a closed session was to have all of us sit down and go over everything that's been discussed.
Can we have a closed session? I would like to say, can we have a closed session with Jerry and George and R3M next week sometime after Memorial Day so we can have our 10 minutes off for Memorial Day?
Rather we have a brief conversation tonight so that we're all on the same page, number one. Okay. Number two, I do want to say this because I keep hearing this fractured fairy tale. There was a meeting, which I attended, which Dr. Lapote attended, which R3M attended, with the DEP and the New Jersey Environmental Infrastructure Trust Fund. At that meeting, which is prior to any of this work, additional work or invoices, the EIT said, we have a new program. We're going to fund a pay-as-you-go. That pay-as-you-go was specifically directed to the work that R3M was doing in the study so that we, instead of coming in, as they put it, with lots of little projects, we could have an overall planned long-term project to take care of our utilities. The same thing that people in town have been screaming about for the last 10 or 15 years, we want a long-term plan. As part of that meeting, the EIT and the DEP said, you know what? We have a new program because this is a problem a lot of towns are having, and we will fund you on a pay-as-you-go basis. In order to do that, you have to issue bonds. After that conversation, some additional work was done under the assumption that we were doing a bond. We did a bond in consultation with our council, in consultation with our bond council, in consultation with the EIT and the TEP. The argument that is being raised is, in essence, that since the bond was defeated, then those payments, those original payments, are invalid under law, nunc pro tunc. Okay? That's the argument.
Objection. I have an objection, and as a point of order.
It's not a point of order, Mike, unless you're talking about who
speaks
next.
This is a point of order about what you're saying, because...
What happened to my recess?
Fair enough.
You said you would
ten
wait.
Minute, 10 minute recess.
I said when Joe was
when
done.
When Joe was done.
Take a bird, a Michael, or a Mike.
I don't think
he could be the bear and the borough attorney. I think they're incompatible offices. If we want advice, that's why we have the borough attorney here, legal advice, not you. I'm sorry, but it's...
I'm not giving you legal advice.
Yes,
I'm responding
are.
To
you
the
are.
Accusations and the bullshit
no.
I'm hearing with
no,
people
you are.
Reading
you're saying that this is not correct and
statutes.
You're citing us legal.
I'm sorry. Could you read your letter again, please? I'd like your and your letter that you have in the bulletin in which you very
I would
clearly
like to read
play
this,
lawyer
the
and
letter
go through
where
the law says this, the law says that, this is the conclusion...
I can read laws.
Apparently not.
I was
we have
mayor
a 10-minute recess
years.
As agreed. 9 o'clock.
I can read laws. Jesus.
9:10.
Really, Jeff? Come on.
Come on, Mike. You can't read.